Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Greetings, Ramadan Mubarak, and Assalamu Alaikum to all my brothers and sisters. And we want to start our program this evening We have a tremendous program in store for you. And I know you're going to be a program that we have prepared for you. And I welcome you to this Inheriting the Power of Mental Freedom. This information-rich program is broadcasted each week here at AM 360. I am Imam Shahid Abdullah, your host and African-American griot. And I host this enriched show every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tonight we have a very special guest, and special guest, really, and Sister Layla Muhammad and her womb team, honoring Women History Month. As we said, we're going to be doing throughout the month of March, honoring women history. We want to say a few words about women history in a moment. During the program, you're going to have the opportunity to ask questions or make comments simply by pushing the button on number one on your phone, and we'll be able to bring you into the queue, and you'll be able to ask your questions or make your comments. We simply ask to be very mindful of the time when you ask your questions, because of the limited time, be precise, to the point, and you will get an opportunity to make your comment and or get an answer to your question. Our goal in this program, on this program, is to dig deep into the stories and truth about our ancestors. And their goals, their objectives, and how they have prepared actually this future generation through their efforts. And we're going to look at that a little, and then we're going to get into our portion of the program that's going to highlight our guests this evening. But we do want to say a few words relevant to our ancestors. We have been told many different things about our ancestors, and as you know, that there's two sides to every coin. It's just like there's two sides to every story. Well, for the most part of the stories about the African American people, we have been getting his story, and but this evening and most of our programming is about our story. We want to tell the story as we find it, remove all of the ideas and concepts to keep it a negative viewpoint, but we want to show you the positive development of the African-American people, the kind of information that you receive when you do a deep study on the past without the cruelty that's dealt out to the reader, you, the reader. The information you receive is sometimes very cruel because it attacks your subconscious mind. It attacks your subconscious mind to create a discontent or create a idea of not even wanting to be an African-American person, not only not listening to the stories of our people, but not engaging in their achievements, the real achievements. Those achievements gives us a positive view on life. In most cases, even the great scholars amongst our people, we jump completely over the history that identifies the African-American people as a new people on this planet, as a new people coming into existence. We jump all the way over that information into Egypt. We look at the pyramids, and we look at under the pyramids, over the pyramids, trying to find a way we can identify with our past. We talk about our ancestors in Africa as if we didn't have a connection, didn't have any connection at all that developed how our ancestors in America have developed relevant to what happened in America and relevant to what's happening in America today. Many of our scholars, and not to say just our ordinary folk, but our scholars deal with the issue that the African-American people are a new people and won't deal with the issue that the African-American people never existed on the planet Earth before in the form we are in today. The combination of West Coast African tribes and people and the combination of Native American who were here before the European American came to North America, and the combination of Europeans, different Europeans, not just one group of Europeans, but the Scottish, the German, the Englishmen, all of them had a part in the play, played a part in the development of the African-American people, biologically speaking. And many of them, in their ways and their concepts, had a major part in our cultural development, how we evolved as a culture and how we see ourselves as a culture. We see ourselves so in such a negative view that we refuse, and many times with hostility, we refuse to examine ourselves, to examine the reality, not that cruel reality that you see that Europeans give us with the whiplashes on the back of our people, the rapes of our ancestors. All of those things are true, but they're true with almost every generation that on the planet Earth. The planet Earth has been harvested by the we call the predatorial minds of the people, have been harvested. And they harvest human beings to do that. They harvest human beings to create the conditions for them to be able to get the goods and the raw material from the earth to build a better heavenly condition for themselves. This is thousands of years old. It began long before America was even thought of, or colonial America and the enslavement of the Africans in colonial America hadn't even come into the idea and concept of the people who were part of the development of the world and the goods of the earth over that period of time. And they weren't all Europeans. In fact, the European played a very small part. The European played a very small part in the development of ancient times. The European played a part that was, if you put it on a scale, you probably wouldn't get any measure or any notice that they were even in existence. If you look at the scale of the achievements of man over the history of our time, and you take it up to the time that the Moors entered into Europe around before 1492, the time that they talk about the coming out of Europe, before that era, you will find that there were very little things that were done, even with the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire. All of those things they did was small in comparison to the development of China, the development of India, the development of Africa, the development of Mid-Africa and the Sahara. All of these areas were far, far ahead of the European expansion. The one thing they all had in common, the European expansion and the African expansion and the Eastern expansion, Far East, they all dealt in slavery. They had to use the slave system in order to build up those big empires. In order to build up those big empires, I know that most of you don't think for one moment that those empires were built up brick by brick by the kings and the queens and the princes of those empires. Those are the people who lived in the heaven conditions. But they worked the classes of people they found in war. Every time they conquered a people, they put them to work. They put them to work to help build their own empire. This is a common point about the history of man. So we, as African Americans, we have to get past that thinking. The slavery didn't start in colonial America. It started long before colonial America. But what happened in colonial America is very relevant to us, the African American people, because that was the beginning of another era, of another people who was a combination of the people from Africa and Europe and this part of America, this part of North America, before the Europeans. That was our beginning. And they don't like to tell that story because they would have to tell two sides. They would have to tell the side that's negative, and they would have to tell the side that's positive. Told the side that's positive, as strong as they told the side that was negative, African Americans would develop a much stronger positive identification with their cultural development. And history shows, the evidence shows, that between the time of 1896 and 1932, African Americans made more progress in America than any other group, any other racial group in America. We outdistanced the German Americans, the Italian Americans, all of them. We had made such great advances. The African American people now are standing on the threshold of either becoming the greatest people who has ever come out of a condition that we found ourselves in 300 years ago, into a situation that they can stand before the world and lead the world in knowledge, lead the world in common sense, lead the world in development. That's the position we stand in. And along with that position, because we may lose our thinking, lose our situation, there's a possibility, a strong possibility, that the African American people over the course of generations can become extinct. If we don't realize where we stand in the world and how we can develop ourselves more, there's a possibility in time the people we know as African American people here in America will become extinct, the same as Aztecs became extinct. It was 25 million Aztecs in America, just in Mexico. There were 65 million Native Americans here in America before the European came. The Incas, there were 40 million Incas in South America. They all are down to 3-4 million people all together. You can't find any of them. Here in the northern section of the United States, northeast section, we had a Lenape. Lenape native lived in here. Hundreds and thousands of them. Now you can't find any. And this is not the first time people became extinct over a period of time. This is not the first time, and it probably won't be the last. But the point is, we are aware of it, and we have an understanding of why it happens and how to prevent that from happening. But the only thing we must do, and the only thing that can save us from that inevitable situation, is coming into the knowledge of ourselves, coming into the true knowledge of ourselves and developing a positive self-image. And without that, we will continue to marry outside of our race. We'll continue to get ourselves into situations where we are following this, what they call the welfare state concept, where they have destroyed the male image, turned the female image into something completely opposite as to what the female valuable aspect of what the female plays in the development of humanity. There are many things that can be said about this issue. But none of them are of value unless they're put into action, unless they're implemented by the people who it matters most. This month is Women's History Month. As African Americans, we should take a greater notice on this, and we should dig deep into the importance of the woman, not just as a mate to a male, but as a nourisher of a culture, a nourisher of humanity, as a nourisher, as the one that teaches the children first, teaches the male child how to be a male, teaches the woman child how to be a woman, teaches them the valuable position they both have in the development of life. Life has to come through the woman. Life has to come through the woman, and not only does it come through the woman, she gives this it of human development. She puts it on the course of human development, the kind of human being that would have, that she would mold, is a very important position the woman has. This society has manipulated the mind of our people so much, and the woman, that the women don't see their value as a woman, and especially the value as a mother. They have created in the mind of some women that is more important to be equal to a man or opposing a man than it is to be her own self, to be her own self, to utilize that which was created in her to bring about life and nourish life, the greater interest of trying to do what they think the male is doing, what they think is good, when actually her role is much stronger than the role of a man, even if he's a breadwinner, even if he's the one who fights off the enemies, even if he builds big towers, it doesn't make any difference. Without the role of the mother to carry life and then bring that life into existence, and then put that life on strong footing as to its identity, whether it's male or female, its identity of whether it, what it can do in the world, there's what the male does is almost useless compared to what the woman's role is as a mother. It's of no value compared to the woman's role as a mother. The world we live in now, we're having the problems we have in this world today, in America especially, and across much of the world, the value of the woman has been taken away from the woman and made her think that the value is trying to be what a man is, and a man is not anything compared to what the mother's role is. Not even compared to it. But this world conditions the woman to believe that. So she'll stop wanting to be a mother. So she'll stop wanting to raise her children to be male and female. So she'll stop wanting to take this great honor that was given to her by the Creator to bring in life, to carry life, and develop life. In those years that a woman spends with a child when it's born, from birth to 8, are powerful years. There's no college that can teach that. No university can teach what a woman could give a child during those years. So this month, Women's History Month, I know they're going to talk about women in history who have done great things in history. That's good. But we, as African Americans, we must not let the concept of the role of the woman as a mother is stronger than any other role in the human society. We must encourage them to gain that confidence again, to want to be mothers, to want to give life, to want to nourish life. Without that, not only are the African-American people in trouble, but the world would be in trouble. There's much more we can go into about that in terms of the woman and the importance of that role of the mother. Those of you who have been blessed to listen and come through the teachings of Imam Wafti Muhammad, you've heard that. You've heard that before. And many of us have heard it, but we have to now put it into action. We have to make it relevant. We have to make it relevant to the time we're in. No matter what we see on the surface, no matter what we see in the social media, no matter what we see coming out of Hollywood, coming out of any of these places where they're designed to manipulate the minds, either subliminally or directly, we have to see all past that and look into the natural development of humanity, what the human being was created to be from the very beginning. And we as African-Americans, we have to take that role, because now we're in the position where we have to save ourselves. And there's a reminder of that in the Quran, where Allah says, save yourself first. Save yourself first, and then your family. It's addressed to the culture itself. The culture. Without the role of a mother, we cannot be saved. Cannot be saved. The humanity knows that. Civilizations know that. But they're doing their best to make sure the African American don't understand that, because we have turned ourselves away from our own culture and trying to find ourselves somewhere else, when our foreparents, our ancestors right here in America, established this culture for us to be able to evolve and grow. But I want to emphasize that by bringing on our guest tonight. Our guest tonight that many of you know of her, and she's done a great deal of work, and that's Sister Layla Muhammad. She's the fifth generation of African-American Muslims. She is an educator, a community advocate, born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she was raised in Chicago, Illinois. And now she's living in Roselle, New Jersey, the first town that was lit up by a light. I don't know if many of you know that. Roselle was the first town that Thomas Edison and an African-American by the name of Louis Latimer lit up this town with the light bulb. There's a beautiful connection there. She's a graduate of the University of Islam, and is now known as Sister Clara Muhammad's school system. Currently, she works with a team with a team of educators on the curriculums and the policies of this 80 plus years of private education system dealing with the Sister Clara Muhammad School. Sister Layla holds a degree in child development and is a extensive studies in behavioral science. Is certified as a domestic violence advocate, certified as a private mediator, and certified Reiki practitioner. Her parents, as many of you might know, that her parents is Imam Wafti Muhammad, is her father, and her mother, Sister Shirley Muhammad, grandparents are the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad. It's an honor and a pleasure to bring on Sister Layla Muhammad to give you some more about what she is doing. She has a new another program that she's going to tell you about it, is the womb movement. She's going to give you an idea of what it's about and give you an opportunity to ask questions and so forth and so on, and you get ready for some real information that is going to help the development of all our people and all the people of the world, really. So with that, I want to bring on Sister Layla Muhammad. Are you with us there?
Yes, I am, Imam Shahid Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you and your listening audience.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yeah, we're glad to have you and your team here today. You can give the listeners an idea about what is this about, the womb movement that you started it. And a little background about you. Most of our listeners have some idea about you and your background, but let's fill us in a little bit.
Yes, I thank you very much for the introduction and of my bio. But I will start in a space that you spoke about in your introductory talk for us this evening, and that is in the space where you said that we have to dig deep into the stories of our ancestors. That is so true and so necessary. We can't move forward if we don't know what was before us and if we don't appreciate what we stand on, the foundation that we stand on. And so I'd like to start with that. My great-great-great-grandmother, her name was Peggy, and she was enslaved in Georgia. She was the grandmother of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And upon the migration, when she, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his parents and siblings and children, older children, migrated from Georgia to Detroit, and after they met their teacher, she changed her name to Omar, her last name, and accepted Islam. Now, why am I starting there? Because she shared with her family, and it was passed down to me through my aunt, Raya Lottie Muhammad. And for all of those that I've mentioned that have transitioned, we pray God bless them, that Allah bless them and reward them with mercy and forgiveness and a high station in the next life. Ameen. I'm starting there because Grandma Peggy told us that she didn't know her mother's name, or either we lost it in the passing of the history, because I'm sure she may have known her mother's name. I'm not sure. But we don't know her mother's name. But what we do know is that she came from Ghana. And years ago, I, like many of us, when I thought of the fact that I descended from people that were forced to travel the ocean and come to this land and work this land and build this land and live here as enslaved people, I thought of that as dark, and I thought of that as negative. But I have been blessed from life experience, student of Imam Muhammad, and now your beautiful research. I have been blessed to see that, yes, it was dark, but there is a beauty in the dark. And that is where the seeds to my existence were planted. So I'm grateful. And it also puts me in a space of when I see a parallel of a situation that is dark and where myself and other people feel that it's a negative space, I now look for the stars and the beautiful moon in that darkness. And I always find the light. There is always an ease within difficulty. And I as a student of my father, Imam Muhammad, he told me that all of our lives are signs. And he also said to me in great detail, talking about different people's names, that we, our parents don't name us, that God, Allah, the Creator, names us. My name is Layla, Beauty of the Night. And I believe that it's specifically for me because I need to see the beauty in the darkness and then share that beauty. So that's what womb is. I was a recipient of the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award that's given to volunteers in the United States that have accumulated 4,000 hours or more. And that was given to me on behalf of the president by Dr. Khalila Camacho Ali, a dear family friend and the former wife of Muhammad Ali, on March the 2nd here in Newark, New Jersey, at the Cityplex Shack Theater. I, prior to receiving it, I thought to myself that nothing happens by accident or just coincidental or just for fun, and what is this award? What does this mean? And so I was blessed with the thought that we're mirrors for each other, as we know, and that if one achieves, we all achieve. This is not for Layla. This is for the culture. This is for women. This is for humanity. How is it for humanity? Because we all need to be volunteers. We all need to serve humanity. And how is it for women? Because we learn through example, as you talked about earlier. The mother's the first teacher. And one thing I know is, being an educator in early childhood development, the children, they watch you. You can say a lot of stuff, and they may hear some of it, but they're going to see everything. So we're mirrors for each other, and one achieves, we all achieve. So I got with a few colleagues, friends, and family, and decided that we were going to award every female that entered into that space on March the 2nd. We had 200-plus women that evening, a beautiful program. We showed the Maya Angelou documentary presented by Hafiz, filmmaker here in New Jersey. And every woman was honored. The spirit there was beautiful. It was a spirit of happiness, of love, and unity. We plan to do this annually. And I should have said from the beginning that WOMB stands for Women Open to Motivate Benevolence. And I especially think that it's important in this day and time when we live and see such inhumane treatment of different cultures and communities across the world. It comes into our living room, and our children see it, we see it, and then we begin to think we're in this dark, bad time. But again, I see it as a dark womb where life is coming and where the future will bring light.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're connecting the womb. Is the organization? Is it an organization or what? How are we looking at this idea, this concept that you're talking about?
Yeah, womb is not an organization. It's a vision. It's a vision for a movement. We have so many organizations. I, in fact, have an organization, Shamsia, the umbrella that I established for domestic violence and families in crises back in the early 2000s. And we've done much work to help people around domestic violence, to educate and aware. And also it took me to the White House in President Obama's second term. I was the first and the only African-American Muslim woman to participate in the inaugurational prayer service, and that was as a result of my work with Shamsia, Domestic Violence Family Service, the umbrella. So we have organizations, and organizations are good, but I feel that we need a movement. And when I say a movement, I mean a space where we will network, as we did on March 2nd, and engage and get to know new people, reacquaint ourselves with old acquaintances, and then begin to collaborate. Those organizations collaborating and engaging and working together and coming together with new ideas that we can partner with. So WOM is a movement, and we will be having different opportunities for networking and engaging and collaboration and partnership throughout the year. You can go to SisterLayla.com and keep in touch with us. And as I said earlier, this WOM Awards Gala will be annually.
Is that, and you say annually, are you talking locally or are you talking anywhere?
Yes. In New Jersey. We're going to have it in New Jersey. After a while, we may move it to someplace else on the East Coast. But for now, we're looking at next year, 2025. We're looking at the month of February. The great majority of us are Muslims, and the month of March would be great. But the month of March will be fasting because the lunar calendar moves, and we should be fasting the great majority of March. So we're looking at the middle of February to have the second annual WOM Gala next year.
Now, you mentioned that the great majority is being Muslim. Is there a lateral appeal or equal appeal across the board for all women to be part of this movement, or is it geared primarily to those who have either religion in common or status, economic status in common? How the appeal made?
So I believe, as you mentioned earlier, that you save yourself first. And so the the appeal and the reach is for self. And what is self? I'm an African-American Muslim woman. So that's our first appeal. Now, you can do some work in your neighborhood, or I'll talk about one of the movements that we know a lot about, and that is the Civil Rights Movement. That started in the African-American church and on the campuses with the African-American students. But then it reached out. And then it became a civil rights movement for humanity. So we're starting out with African-American women. The WOM Gala that we honored all the females, but we highlighted 16 women. And of those 16 African-American women, the majority was Muslim, but we had one, two, three, about four non-Muslim women. So I hope I answered your question.
At that particular event, the award was also given by the city of Newark. What was that in relation to?
Yeah, the city of Newark, they acknowledged Dr. Khalilah Camacho Ali and myself with a resolution. It was a resolution. It wasn't an award, but it was a resolution acknowledging what had taken place on March the 2nd with the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award and with the awards and the women being honored at the Cityplex. And so that resolution now is in the records of Newark City.
Okay. And where is the you looking in terms of this movement? I know you are starting with self, but is there anything in the plans to do this more? I know you mentioned also doing it on the East Coast, but is there anything on the drawing board, let's say, of stretching out, just in case some of our listeners are from different parts of the country, which they are, how could they get involved in this idea, even though they may not be from New Jersey, or even if they're not Muslim, for example, if they're African American and they are from another part of the country or from this part of the country, how would they reach out? How would this be of value to them? I know if it's value for one, it should be value for the other, but you tell us.
Yes, they can reach out to me at sisterlayla.com, fill out the contact information, and let us know that they're interested in being a part of this movement. However, we are blessed to live in a time where we're not confined to borders anymore. So we will be having virtual experiences around the womb movement. Also, if you keep in touch with me, I will let you know my schedule. I'm scheduled to be in Austin, Texas, at the end of April. You can reach out to me about that. And the only thing that is confined, I guess you say, or not confined, or committed is a better word, because not confined, committed to the East Coast is the annual gala. But our work is going to be and is, because it's actually what I've been doing for over 20 years now, collaborating and working with various organizations, Muslim and non-Muslim, around volunteerism, around women's issues, around children, and around community advocacy. And so now the opportunity has come and the idea and the vision has come to me that I should not be walking these spaces alone. And so we're going to hold on to each other and move through these spaces together. I plan to be in Italy in May. So we don't have any border restrictions. And God willing, we will stand and put one foot in front of the other and walk and move into a bright future.
Yeah, that reminds me of some of the things that you had in terms of your sensitivity toward helping others was sort of nurtured by your father, mother, and grandparents. Were there any other people involved in nurturing you and to become a person who would want to see the women leadership, empowerment, and diversity, you know, that kind of focus?
Yes, I appreciate that question. Yes, yes, yes. Several people came to my mind. The first person that came to my mind was my kindergarten teacher, and her name is Katrina Moore. She was the most loving, almost fairy tale-ish, you know, something that you would read about in a book. She looked the part. She sounded the part, and she loved us and taught us our reading and arithmetic and our manners through love and play. And she played the piano for us every day at the public school on the south side of Chicago, Enrico Fermi. And it puts me in the mind of another teacher who is still alive. She's in her 90s. She's my high school mathematics teacher at the University of Islam, Sister Catherine Aaliyah. And she helped me to see math in such a simplistic way. I remember her saying, if you just learn the formula, then you can do it. All you have to do is remember the formula and practice. And that has been a gem in my life, because with everything, if you learn the formula, and I think that there are probably many versions of the formula, but I get my formula from the Quran. So you learn the formula, and then you just have to practice it. And know that you're not going to be the best on this day, but then you just keep doing it and you get better. And you may even fall back, but keep practicing, and you will reach your human potential. So my teachers, I had a beautiful professor, Mrs. Sherilyn Triplett, that helped me in college undergrad when I was in a dark space. And she helped to shine a light on me, and I saw myself through her eyes. And I've had people in my life that have impacted me and that also are a part of WOMB, and that is two specifically that I never met. One is Maya Angelou. I heard her speak in person, but I never actually met her. She impressed me, and she guided me through her writings and her writings, her books. And then Annie Malone. She guides me and inspires me to know the importance of philanthropy and business and education. She was the teacher to Madam C.J. Walker. So I've had many people. I've been blessed with many women. I can even think about strangers. You know, I talk a lot. I talk to strangers in the grocery store. And some women will give me a bit of advice or a gem, and I hold on to those.
Mm-hmm. Now, you speak of a team. You have a team. Team helped you put together the project in Newark. Is that an ongoing team for the movement? Or is that a team just for the event, a team to put together the event? That team
is an ongoing team for the movement. I've been blessed to have at least a dozen, at least 10. I like the number 10 even better. But I have women that we are of like mind. We are not necessarily alike in that our experiences of life are exactly alike, but the way we approach things, we're aligned in our thinking. And they are not only Muslim, they are not only seniors as I am, but it's a diverse group of women. All of them are not career women. It's a diverse group, and yes, we are committed collectively to move this movement.
Right, that's beautiful. That reminds me of much of the things we talk about on this program, And that's the concept of, and many other guests have mentioned it, and that's the concept of collaboration, the power that's in collaboration, how working together with other people bring about some important progress, important situations to cause progress. Did you have that in mind, or that's part of your training, or how do you see that?
Definitely, collaboration is very important. Some years ago, I guess maybe about 15, 14 years ago, just recently I stopped serving on the board of Inner City Muslim Action Network, this organization that's in Chicago. But I have to applaud them in that their board members, which I was for 20 years, we were very well trained. They brought in experts in the area of nonprofit organizations. And that's where about 15 years ago, I saw what collaboration could do, how it could propel an organization. When you go after a goal and you don't stand alone, when you come into the space, for example, when we were changing laws and implementing new laws in Springfield, the capital of Illinois, we went into Springfield as a collaborative group, Muslims, Christians, atheists, men, women, children, adults, I should say young people, not necessarily children, high schoolers high schoolers and college students. But it was the diversity, and it was the collaboration and the fact that we were coming together because people are more impressed when you come along with someone else that believes in you and when you believe in somebody else. And so when that comes together, it's like a family. You know, it takes two people to produce. And so that's what, the collaboration is very important.
Yes, we've going pretty strong here. I want to remind the listeners that you have an opportunity to comment on what you hear. And the only thing we ask to keep it pretty much to the subject, if you have any questions or comments, if you just push the one on your phone, and then we'll see you and bring you into the queue if you have any questions before we take a short break. We could do that before you take a short break. If any of you have any questions for Sister Layla about anything you've heard, push the one on your phone. Okay. Let's take area code 914. Area code 914.
Walaikum assalam.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Mount Vernon, New York.
Alhamdulillah.
I have a lot of questions and statements, whole lot of here, but I know I won't have time because there's others to speak about. I just want to say the straight thing with Imam Shaheed when you spoke about the situation of the female being moved into the area of a male and not supporting her male. I said this goes back to Pharaoh's time when he said, kill the men and save the females. That's still working in America today, all over, that situation. And we got to end that. And now we at a point now, I want to say something in reference to what Imam Muhammad said. Stop me if I'm talking too long. This Imam Muhammad said.
We have a lot of people. Go ahead. We do have a question of people.
In Cleveland, Ohio, June the 10th, 1999, in Cleveland, Ohio, the man said, and sisters, this is your day. It's not your day because we men don't deserve it. It's your day because we deserve it more than we deserve it. It's only our day, brothers, if we support them, sisters. You want to get our day back? Support our women. Support our learn. And this is what the word learned is in capital letters. Support our learned women. Sisters, I'm prepared to follow female. Now, when the man said that, instantly I said, yes, ma'am, I'm with you. We're ready to support female leader. Ma'am said, and I pledge to follow female leader. The likelihood of a brother succeeding in the leadership is much less than the likelihood of a sister succeeding in the leadership. I won't go on for on that because I don't want to take any more time. But one other thing I would like to say, and that is, just a lady spoke about Andy Malone. I have a section of books here called The Black Fortunes by Sir Mary Wills. S-H-O-M-A-R-I Wills. It's called Black Fortunes. Now, he mentions Andy Malone in his sixth issue. CD, which you can get, is go and put in Black Fortune, and you'll be able to get it. So the last thing I'd like to say is that we're at a point now. It's not thinking. We have two choices now, which is not good for anyone, not even good for mankind. That is, we have President Biden on one end saying that he has given support to Israel, the Israelis that's taken over the country, the people of Palestine. And so he's going to continue to support them with finances, with weapons, technology, and all of that. On the other hand, we have another person, President Trump, that he wants to get back in. So far, he don't have any competition because of haters. He just dropped out. He has no competition. So now there are the two things that we have there. Either Biden, who's going to continue to support Israel, and Trump, who say he's going to do the same thing that Hitler tried to do. He's going to be the world dictator. So we have no choice. So my choice now is that we start moving and write in a female, a sister from our community, a two or three or four or five of them, write in their name. Is the leadership now. The men have messed up the whole world. So that'll be not coming. Thank you, Layla. And thank you.
Thank you, Brother Shabrie. Greetings to everybody in Mount Vernon. Thank you so much.
Do you have anything coming on that, Sister Layla? Thank you, brother.
Yes.
Do you have any comment on
Thank you, Brother Imam. Yes, I do. I'm going to comment as, because he mentioned Imam Muhammad and read the quote. We're familiar with that quote. And I'll comment as Imam Muhammad's, as an employee of Imam Muhammad's offices, the Mecca office, the Mosque Cares, et cetera, and even an office manager for the Mosque Cares. And I'm going to also lastly, this comment comes from his daughter also. I had to learn to look at my father in different ways in different spaces, because you can't address and communicate with your dad the same way you would at home as if you when you're in the office. So I learned that there were different things, and so I'm responding in this way, and that is that, yes, that quote is accurate. We know the quote. I can even remember when he said it, but I do know this also about Imam Muhammad, about W.D. Muhammad, the president of the Mosque Cares, and about my daddy, that he was very strategic. And if there was going to be a successor, then he would have appointed one. He, in fact, abolished that office when, with the last person that held that office, Earl Abdul Malik Muhammad, he said in front of thousands of people that office no longer existed. And he also said to us in Detroit, Michigan, at the last convention that he was at, that every person, male and female, above puberty age, should be prepared to lead. And he began to name what you need to do, what you need to know how to do, perform a janazah, do other things in the community, do marriages, lead the salat, lead the prayer. And that I recognize as marching orders, you know, as we called it back in before 75, that all of us need to be prepared to lead, because charismatic leadership is over. It's dead. And that we should recognize that Allah created every human being with greatness and abilities. And those abilities can be transferred into leadership within different tasks. So we should have task leadership. We should not limit ourselves to individual charismatic leadership.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have several other callers. Let's take a couple more calls, because we're going to have to take a break. Let's go to 973.
2030.
Nine seven three.
Assalamu alaikum. Sister Layla. This is Sister Rashida Edeen. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, and Ramadan Mubarak to the listening audience. Sister Rashida, one of our womb awardees, the fabulous social media inspirer.
Oh, my goodness. Alhamdulillah. No, sister, I appreciate that. I'm so humbled by that. I just wanted to state I am still on clouds with that honor and that evening, that gala. The evening was electrifying, inspiring, and empowering. And you, beloved, epitomize what the womb movement is and what your vision for it to continue to be. You are most definitely, in my opinion, and I'm sure I share this opinion with others, you are the woman that is open to motivate benevolence. You are that woman. As they say, you are that girl, that woman who we want to be. I thank you for sharing that vision and this movement with us. I humbly appreciate your honoring me in activism. As you were saying in your comments, as women, as sisters, we need to be a reflection of one another. That is so important. We need to share our stories. We need to empower each other. But first, we need to do the work and understand what our gifts and what we have to share and serve the community is. We have to manifest that and acknowledge that within ourselves, because a lot of times we're fearful to open up and share what we have gone through or what our visions are for fear of being judged by others or the naysayers. We can no longer do that. As you said, this community has to be task-based. It has to be a collective leadership amongst us. Sure, we need a head, absolutely. But we need those task servants and people in service to continue to keep the movement, the vision, the faith rising and manifesting the way it should be and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would want it to show up as. So I thank you for that beautiful, empowering night. I look so forward. I'm so happy to hear that this will be an annual gala. Count me in. Count me in.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you do to empower us with your positivity and your strength.
Oh, may I be reflection of you, my sister. As we say, may we reflect one another and continue to lift and rise together. Inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay, let's take another caller at 708. 708, area code
708. Assalamu
alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak to you, brother.
Ramadan Mubarak.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, thanks to Allah. You know, I just wanted to say what I've already stated to Sister Layla, that, you know, the weekend's event there with the sisters took me back to a time when, you know, when I was younger. And I would attend events as a young man, you know, things like Savior's Day and events that brought us together as youngsters, you know, because back then we had a lot of unifying events. And even, you know, as an adult, it took me back to a time where the community was unified, and it was a beautiful thing to feel the unity in that room and the unity of purpose amongst the sisters there that night. It warmed my heart, and it put me in a place that took me back to, well, this is wow. And I said to myself, Allah is present, and the unity still exists in this community. Alhamdulillah. So, you know, that's basically what I wanted to say, because everything else has been said. Sister Layla, you've worked hard, and any accolades you receive are well-deserved. And may Allah continue to strengthen you, and may Allah continue to have angels assembled in your favor and guard you against the accursed shaitan and the ones amongst us that don't know how to control our deen, and to keep the deen in check and to be respectful and honorable, and continue to do your great work. Ameen.
And for you the same, and I thank you for that. Thank you very much.
Alrighty.
Okay. Let's go to area code 404. 404.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Inshallah, everyone had a peaceful Tuesday. I am going to make a comment personally and I guess I will say professionally. My name is Tahira Abdullah, and I am the oldest daughter of Layla Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum.
She's my only daughter, but my oldest child.
Right. Yeah, I had to throw that in there.
Yes. She was first.
That's funny. But alhamdulillah, I just wanted to share with the audience my joy in having Layla as my first teacher, my first protector, my first provider. The woman who sacrificed so much for me, the woman who chose to give me life. I thank you so much for loving and caring for me throughout all of these phases of life and all of these life situations. And I'm really, really, really proud to stand next to you and to assist you with whatever you need me to do. Because womb is everything. That's my new hashtag. Womb everything. Womb everything. Womb everything. Because like Imam Shahid said, you have to come through a womb. You have to. So So we have to honor all of the wombs. And my belief is through honoring all of the wombs, we can heal the wombs as well. We can join together and love each other and be what humanity is intended. You know, this world is nothing but an illusion. The only reality is Allah, our Lord. So we are going to tap into that. We have tapped into that. Womb everything, womb everything, womb everything. And it's a movement. And, you know, I'm a younger person, so I'm speaking this way because words are power. And we are going to make a change, inshallah, in this 21st century. Because I have daughters that have wombs, and I'm 1,000% into cultivating and supporting unconditionally our future. So, inshallah, I am on board 1,000,000%. Womb everything, womb everything, womb everything. And I pray, inshallah, everyone has a peaceful Ramadan and a peaceful evening. And thank you for allowing me to be a part of womb everything, womb everything, womb everything. Alhamdulillah.
You're part of the team, aren't you?
Yes,
you're
sir.
You're part of the team.
Yes, sir. Womb everything. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's part of the womb team. You want to speak to that, Layla?
Yes, I would love to. So, yes, the Tahira is my daughter, and she is such a brilliant woman. She is of this new what do you call it? Technology savvy generation, and she helped us in that space of womb. She also works in the nonprofit space around organizing and strategic managing. And she was just that for us on March the 2nd. I had no idea how many people had attended the womb gala. I knew the place held 300, and she had a tally. We were over 200 people, and she gave me the exact number, and we didn't ask her to do that. She also was had the foresight and the wisdom to go into the foyer of the theater towards the end of the program as people were trickling out to hear their comments, to give us feedback on what they were saying as they left, and to hear testimonies and to receive testimonies. And because of her wisdom and because of her foresight and due diligence to make our program a success, we are going to now be able to post at the website, SisterLayla.com, some of those testimonies and those comments. And this is why it takes a team, because all of us have our expertise. And I'm just happy and humbled to have my daughter on my team. I shadowed my mother with the Clara Muhammad Memorial Educational Foundation, and I'm just blessed to be able to work with my daughter as well as other young people. The co-host for Womb Gala, she's actually out of the country studying abroad. She jumped on a plane a few days after the gala, so she's not on this call. But she is a very bright young person like my daughter, Aaliyah Saleem. So we're ready. And as Tahira said, womb everything, womb everything.
Okay, let's go to another caller at area code 718. Area code 718.
Brother Muhammad Mubai, Fort Valley, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, everybody on the line.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak. I'm listening to the program.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I'm listening to the program, and most everything's been power-packed in terms of information and knowledge. And it's like sometimes we just keep repeating the same thing. I'm not saying, but in different words. But we know a lot of solutions to the problem. And you know, we had the greatest leadership in our time, Imam Muhammad. And I heard him say it one time himself. He says that man has failed in his leadership. And that includes us and the Imams in this association. And he never pointed that fingers at anybody. He said we all failed and that we need to recognize the great potential of the female. And it's important that we remember that we have mothers. And even Allah Muhammad said, respect the woman. He said, always respect that woman. And the prophet said, educate the woman. And she had to be recognized and upheld and uplifted. Our African-American woman had to understand her value. And with all these influences that the Imam said he was talking about earlier in terms of social media, Hollywood, TV, music industry, subliminal foolishness, all the way from the plantation life. This is modern-day plantation behavior under the influence of Shaitan. So, you know, we got to recognize that a lot of people that didn't support the Imam or Imams that didn't support him in terms of working under his idea, and now you're looking at factions of leadership was over here and over there. It's scattered. And a lot of them are not talking about coming together because nobody want to be recognized under somebody else feeling like, well, I know as much as him, I know more than them. Instead of staying focused on the goal, the purpose is establishing community. He said our main goal should be establishing community life.
Right.
And he said that should be the what? Huh?
I said, right.
Yeah, yes. He said that's our main objective should be to start community life. He said we men are like babies. Mm-hmm. He said that's why they got them in the when they're on high, they wearing the hijab wrapped up like children. They had to be reborn. They had to be. We had to have strong mothers like Sister Claire mm-hmm. Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with
right.
her. We need strong mm-hmm. mothers like we used to have when we were children in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I don't know what happened, but they did their job like the brother was talking about in terms of separating the man from the female, and now they even got the females thinking that we their enemy. And that's really because that subliminal slave mentality there. We still thinking with our lust. I'm not just saying the Muslims in our association, but most males thinking with lust and things of the material world, wealth, materialism, and looks. And the Imam says, mm-hmm. the one thing we can say about our leader, and Imam Muhammad, he never wavered, and he never let the material world, where he had invitations to live lavishly, he never let the world, material invitation of material world, take him off course.
Right.
So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to take up all the time. It's a lot to be said,
okay.
And I know it's a lot y'all know. But, you know, alhamdulillah, we got to come together. We got to get a faction,
yes,
a small portion of people, a little bit at a time, to come together and establish community life.
Yes.
We got to buy some land and build community and have our own. Like he said, before he passed out the world, he said, we got to roll up the sleeves and go to work and do like his father said from the beginning, do for self.
Mm-hmm.
That's our
right.
Well,
We have one more caller. Did you want to, before we go to break, did you want to comment on that Layla?
No. I would like to just echo that that it is, we do need community life, you know, and inshallah, we're moving towards that. It would take a long time for me to say what I'm thinking in that because I'm thinking about the fact that we can go to a place and find Chinatown or Little Italy or Greek Town, but we can't find New Africa. So, we need community life. We need to do for self.
Yes. Okay, we're going to have to go to break, but we'll take one more caller before we go to break. Area code 727.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak, everybody.
Ramadan
Mubarak. This is Brother Bilal. Alhamdulillah. You know, as long as Allah said that is that is all right for the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad to be led by a female, a woman. Well, you know, and I look at leadership now that there is a young person. He's a student of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and he's one of his students, and he's in Atlanta, Georgia. He's a sister Imam there, Brother Rashad Abdul Rahman, and he's a great voice of leadership in Maine right now. And so as long as Allah is okay, as far as the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad is concerned, that a woman have that leadership role, then we can look at it. But if not, we don't want to talk from a point of weakness of leadership now, right now, and that would be for the whole future of the Ummah. You know, you understand what I'm saying? So praise be to Allah.
Yeah.
And I like to just mention that. That's all. Alhamdulillah. Keep doing the great work. Yeah. And alhamdulillah, look, Sister Layla, she's a fireball. She's about to work. And her father will be very proud of her. And I am very proud of her also. Alhamdulillah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu.
You want to comment on that, sister?
Yeah, I have to. He mentioned our dear young brother, Imam, in Atlanta, Rashad, whom I love, him and his family. I know them from Chicago. And he's a very learned student of Imam Muhammad. I applaud him and what he's doing with his publications and his tours and his lectures. And we pray Allah much success for him. But I would like to remind us and to really strongly ponder and consider looking at your hands or both your hands and seeing that you have 10 fingers, some of
yes.
them stronger than the others, some of them are able to do more than one thing. But
right.
Would you rather have one stands out, or would you rather have 10? I think that we should focus on the collective. God consciousness is 10. And we want not just one Rashad, not just one Amira, not just
Go
one
ahead.
Anything. We
Go
want
ahead.
The collective. We want the collective. And we have it. We just have to recognize it.
Allahu Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
Allahu
yes.
Akbar.
I'm always cautious about shaitan. You know, we don't want to get shaitan and rope to do nothing there. So praise be to Allah.
Right.
I'm glad you say that too, sister. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
One thing in relation to that, and then we're going right into break, the Quran is very clear. Very, very clear, especially on this matter. The Quran, Allah says about those who are on the right course, he said those who have salat, focus on salat. And the second principle is that, and they are practice ashura bainahum, a practice that's collective thought. Ashura bainahum means collective thought. And then it says, and they are willing to give a form of sadaqah, but it's a form of zakat, and pay out of what Allah has given them. It's three principles there. And Ashura Bainahum is mentioned as a principle. So that working collectively is more important than, as later just explained, that one finger is great if it's strong, but it's not as strong and great as 10 fingers. See, so we have to look toward that working together. That working collective. That's all I want to say on that. We're going to have to go to break. And coming back, we're going to give Layla a chance to finish up what she has to offer. If you have any more of your team here, you can also introduce them. But let's go to a quick break here, and then we come right back.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, we're back. Those of you who have any questions, we're going to, you could push the one on your phone and we'll be able to identify you, and you can ask questions. You have to make your question sort of quick and be a little more precise, because we don't have much time left. And I do want Sister Leila to finish what she has to tell us about the future of the womb and that movement. Sister Leila, would you continue on, and then we'll take the questions as they come.
Yes, I will. I'm going to just reiterate.
I have one before you get started. I do have one before you get
started.
Okay,
go ahead. Yes, please. Yes.
Okay. Now you have the movement, and we talked about the future a little bit, and as the people get aboard, come aboard. Is there any criteria for the people in terms that you would like for them to come to help, be a part of? And secondly, how can the womb benefit the community? People benefiting you and the womb movement, and how could the womb movement benefit the people?
So I'll start with what I think is the most important. Womb, women open to motivate benevolence, will, God willing, inshallah, benefit the community, the country of the United States of America, and our world by firstly looking at that womb, that self, that place where we all came from, and embracing it, embracing the beauty in the darkness, embracing the fact that life only grows in the darkness. Embrace that idea, embrace where we come from, and then open yourself up. Open yourself up to motivate someone else to embrace that. And do it in a benevolent way, not just a loving way, but a benevolent way, the type of love and kindness and compassion that comes from God. And if we do that in my most humble way, I think we will benefit the world. Secondly, people and what we're looking for, it's just that. We're looking for everybody. I'm a Mary Kay consultant. I like the skin products of Mary Kay, and I like the belief of Mary Kay, that Mary Kay tells you that family comes first, and then God comes first, then your family, and then Mary Kay. And what I learned from her, and I just lost my train of thought when I was getting ready. Oh, I know. She taught us as consultants, who do you want to sell your product to? Anybody with skin. So no, this is not a woman's movement. This is a human movement. Anybody with skin is who we want to come on board. You can go to SisterLaila.com, SisterLaila.com. Fill it out. and your information. We will be in touch with you, and we will have something for you to get involved in immediately. Right now, this is the month of Ramadan. I've had people to contact me, and what I'm looking for in those people is to help us during this month to assist in the many spaces of iftar, the breaking of the fast. They can assist by going to those spaces and engaging in those spaces, bringing positive energy to those spaces, or they can assist by donating to those spaces to help feed the people, or they can assist in that area by hosting. There are many organizations and masjids that are looking for people to host iftars. So that's our focus in the next 30 days. I do like to do the last 10 days in a quiet space. So the last 10 days I won't have much for myself to be involved in, but we will have for the next 30 days spaces like that. And then after that, as I said, I'll be in Austin, Texas. You can contact me, and I'll tell you what that's about. And we're going to be doing some things around empowering our young girls in the New Jersey area over the summer. And I'd like to actually mention that we were blessed to have a team of beautiful, vibrant, just electrifying young women. The name of their group is called Unity Steppers. And they did, you know, the college stepping type dance, and they were dressed beautiful in African cultural ankle-length skirts, very modest, and just it was amazing. And so we look to have more opportunities like that. So just get in touch with us. And who? Like I said, everybody. You got skin. If you have skin, then we want you, because you can put some skin in the game, as they say.
That's right. That is right. Let's run this by here one more time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we're going to get ready to get into our next phase. We have a program following us, courtship and marriage. They would be on at 7 sharp. So those of you who have any other questions or comments about what you heard today, just raise your hand simply by pushing the 1 on your phone, and you can come in. You have a few minutes left to do that. I want to impress upon you once again, before we ask Sister Leda to give us our information again, impress upon all of us the importance of motherhood. And we, even if we are not mothers, we should encourage motherhood, encourage our young folk to know that being a mother is more important than being a sports broadcaster, more important than being any of these things that the society puts out in front of us. And especially now, because we didn't talk much about it today because we had a special guest. We wanted to make sure she could get this information out to our listening audience. But we didn't. We mentioned it just slightly. There is a great possibility that the people of the future, the African-American people from our community, may not have a future simply because we are living at the time of what they call a sub replacement fertility rate. Now, you, those of you, we're going to do that on another show and tell you exactly why that has so much impact on us. And that sub-replacement fertility rate is it stands for the number of children that must be born per female in a culture, in a race, or any group. A number of children that must be born to a female that lives, that the children live to age 15, and it has to be 2.1 children have to be born per female in any group, any organization, any race, in order for that people to continue into the future. If they reach that number, their future is guaranteed. There's no way that they can be wiped out by death or any kind of calamity as long as they're bearing children at that rate. When they stop bearing children at that rate, then their destiny becomes extinction. Their destiny automatically shifts into extinction. That's one of the laws of the creation, just like the law of gravity, that type thing. That's what that is. They don't tell us much about this rule, this law that's in the creation of the sub-replacement fertility rate, but it's there. And they know as long as the African-American people don't focus on having children and women don't focus on motherhood, we're bound to become extinct over a period of years. The idea of future generational wealth doesn't even count. The idea of saving for the future doesn't even count, because without the replacement, our replacing ourselves each generation, there is no future for our people. We have to look at this. We have to look at it and become serious about it, and we have to encourage our young folks, especially the women. Important it is for them to become mothers and raise their children to become fathers and become mothers. We have to put that as a prime point in our talks that our preachers are doing. The preachers need to start talking that. The imams need to start talking that. The governors, everybody where African Americans are in place, we need to start talking that and making that a absolute important aspect as to what we must do as African American people in order to have a future. In order to have a future, we have to do that. And this idea that they put in our minds about making money and all those things are all temporary. They've done it one generation. One generation you can get rich. One person could get rich. But that can't pass down through generations if the generations are not here. And that money and that wealth just goes into other people. They start using it. And that generation, the person who built that wealth, is just gone. Start looking at the seriousness of this matter rather than just going with the who's going to be drafted on the next football team, who's going to play the next baseball team, what's the next song coming out. All those things are okay, but they're not okay when your future of your people are in jeopardy like ours. Those things are secondary, absolutely secondary, as to jobs and unemployment. All those things are secondary. They're scary. They use those to scare us. Unemployment in America, in the world, is not an issue. You can create our own jobs, especially in this high technological world now that we're in. You can create your own job. People are doing it every day. That's just a scheme to cause the African-American people slow down on our production, slow down on our having children. And I know that some of you live in neighborhoods that say, well, the little girl down the street got three babies, another one got four babies. You think that, but that's only a few compared to the millions that's needed to replenish a people. To replenish a people, you have to, millions and millions have to continue. It's 42 million African-Americans in America. When you multiply that time, the females that's in our community, and then multiply that time, what has to happen to the sub-replacement fertility rate is it can become very, very devastating. So I want to just remind us that we're going to have to we're going to have to take into consideration the importance of promoting motherhood, promoting the fact that our women need to know and must know how important it is for them to be mothers and to love the role of being mothers and not being afraid of being mothers. So we are gonna, any more, Layla, we'd like for you to give us a little more how they can get in touch with you. I believe if I didn't push the wrong button here.
Yes.
There you are.
Yes, you can get in touch with me by visiting the website Sister, S-I-S-T-E-R, Layla, L-A-I-L-A, one word, SisterLayla.com. If you prefer, give me a call, 708-698-0713. You should text me first so that I know who's calling and what your call is about. And if I can, Imam Shahid, I'd like to say a final thought.
Yes.
And that is that when we think of these concepts, when we think of women and nurturing and giving birth and being mothers and the first teachers, and when we think of men being protectors and providers and leaders, let's broaden our thought process and not see just human, male, female. When Imam Muhammad said that men had failed, and many people say men have ruled the world and this is why we're in this shape, I don't agree with that. I would ask that we consider that it's a behavior. It is the fact that the men have been out of balance and they have only looked at one side of themselves in the creation, and that is that hard, forceful side. And that's why we're longing for this nurturing mother. But I don't want us women to do the same thing and get into spaces and lead humanity in an unbalanced situation. We need both. We need nurturers and we need protectors. And only you can say what your ability is. It's like with a mother. A mother sees her children and she sees all of them with great potential. And she may have a daughter who doesn't necessarily want to come in the kitchen and cook with her, but she's a woman and a girl just the same, and she doesn't want to leave outside of her nature, but she likes building. And so the mother will encourage her and tell her to become an architect, but still tell her, I'm looking forward to those grandchildren, you know, and vice versa, you know. So what I think we should consider is that we have to look at ourselves and see what our abilities are, see what our tasks, what our capabilities are, and then find the task that fits that ability. And don't be afraid to move forward. Lastly, if I can take the last couple of minutes to read this poem from my first book, and it's called Expressions. Is that okay? Do we have time?
What you could say a little bit about your book if you want to.
Okay, well, I have three books of poetry. The latest book is a book commemorating Juneteenth called Sitting Under the Tree. That book is available for purchase. It's a coffee table book, and It's geared towards all ages, all demographics, and it's a beautiful read. So if you want to get a copy, just contact me at 708-698-0713 or contact me through the website, SisterLayla.com. This particular poem I thought to read because we're talking about individual people and it's in the uniqueness of all of us and the fact that Allah has put in all of us a nurturing and a strong spirit that can be beneficial to the world. But sometimes because of society and even family things, we're afraid to be ourselves. We're afraid to stand up. We become shy. And this poem addresses that. It's called Expressions. A poet tells a story. Words artistically expressing life. Sometimes sad and sometimes glory. Always a sharing, an unbearing of the soul. Truth as perceived. Some say it should be left alone, left untold. The poet may be shy, but with pen, oh, so bold. And then, and only then, the story is told. So don't be shy, brothers and sisters. Tell your stories. Express yourself. Think about your concern and then lead in that task. And let's make it a beautiful world. Let's be bold in our benevolence. And let's do as Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad said, let's remake the world.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Yes, we have a thankful that for your visit and giving us your not just insight or giving us your ideas, but what you've been doing after that practical application of thought, that practical application of teaching and that you're putting into practice, that's going to make a big difference. I see we have still, I think everybody has made a comment that I see up. I'm not certain, but just 1 second, 973.
Oh, my God.
973, have you made the comment already?
So are they in the hospital as well?
Okay, I guess they paid it.
Yeah, I think they did. But I would like to say to you, Imam Shaheed, that we are very grateful, Woon, myself, and the team, for being able to be on your show and reach your audience, inheriting the power of mental freedom. And also we'd like to thank Blog Talk Radio 360 also for giving us this opportunity. And we pray Allah that all have a productive and a peaceful evening and week to come and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, and thank you very much, sister. We have one more here going out the door, 914.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif again.
Oh, okay. We started off with you.
Right, okay.
Yes.
You all right? Okay, all right.
Yes, I want just say, got a minute, brother, 1 minute.
I said we like to follow the best they are, and that is almost on all these programs, they give their number out at least two times because sometimes people may not have a pen, not have a pencil, what
okay.
to write on. Please give your number out more than one time. Layla,
yes,
would you
sir.
Give your
okay.
number out one more time, please?
Yes, sir, and I thank you so much for looking out for your sister, brother. Yes, sir. So my number, 708-698-0713. And as I said earlier, please text me first at 708-698-0713. 0713. Thank you.
Thank you, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Now we have coming up, you know, we have courtship and marriage coming up. And they're following this right on our heels. So stay tuned, and we're going to close out with this number here from some brothers out of New York. We'll talk with you. See you next week. We're here every Tuesday, 5 to 7, here at AM 360 on Blog Talk Radio. That's Inheriting the Courage of Mental Freedom with me, your host, Imam Shahid Abdullah, the African Bilali and American Griot. So we'll talk with you then, and may Allah continue to bless you, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Thank you.